Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I got something special just for the people that subscribe to my newsletter, okay? I wanted to try putting out some weekly updates. Don't know if I can do it every week based on time, but I thought you might appreciate this, so I just want to keep you up to date. And if you want this, you can download it. In the newsletter, there is a link, and you can download a PDF version, okay? And first off, I want to thank Tower Safety for being my sponsor based in Phoenix, Arizona. You can call them at 480-313-0678, or towersafety.com, all one word. And again, it's in the newsletter. They do any type of tower and rescue training on the, obviously for the tower, safety training and rescue. And they also do OSHA training and things like that. And coming in December, they're going to have drone training for, and closeout package training for with the drones. So that's basically what they do now. Now they also have a crane yard. They have their own towers. It's pretty cool. They're a member of NATE and they are an accredited school. All right. How cool is that? I have some blogs coming out this week. One of them's about the number one problem in the industry for the tower climbers. So for the tower climbers, I always thought the number one problem was safety. It's not. It's getting paid by their employer, their customer, getting their expense money is number two. Number three is, where will I work next month? Number four is, will I get fired or laid off if I say something? A lot of guys were afraid to respond to the RFI. And five is being away from home. Guys are just so sick of being away. At first, they like it, especially the younger guys. But after a while, they hate it. It becomes a real problem. And finally, at number six is safety. And where did I get this? Liz Day, who did the ProPublica expose on the tower climbers and all the problems with climbing and rushing and how poorly managed everything was, she was the one that pointed this out to me. She said when she talked to people, everyone said it was the number one problem. However, nobody wanted to talk about the money because you lose customers that way. But everyone would talk about safety, very open with safety. Nobody really kept it a secret that she talked to. And so what I did, I asked a bunch of climbers. I got a lot of information back, and that's what I got. If you have information, just reply to this email. Let me know. I talk to a lot of people, and that's what they all tell me. Another thing I have coming out, I have a lot of information on Wi-Fi and LTEU because that's a hot topic right now. I want to put something out this week, but we had other stuff that came out this week. I'll get into that in a minute. But Wi-Fi and LTEU is LTE and unlicensed band. They have a lot of different things coming out, the carriers that they're going to try. One is LAA. That's LTE aggregation with Wi-Fi, which I already wrote a blog post on that. The Wi-Fi people have a real problem with LTE being in their unlicensed free spectrum. The problem is they're afraid it's going to trample on Wi-Fi and then they're out of business, right? But I'd like to stress it's unlicensed free spectrum. It just sort of drove me crazy. When I listen to RCR TV about, they have that Wi-Fi Now show, which I'm a fan of RCR TV. I really like them. But David Morken on there, the CEO of Bandwidth, he built out an entire Wi-Fi system, and I get it. He's worried that, you know, this LTE is going to come out and his customers are going to complain. Trust me, I understand that. But then he made a comment like, well, maybe they should be allowed to run Wi-Fi in the license bands. Well, that's funny. He could have easily bid at the auction. Well, not about easily, but maybe he could have bid at the auction or he could approach the FCC about some bandwidth, which if you're on Wi-Fi in that spectrum, you know, he'd probably have to change it to WiMAX. But I'm sure, you know, if he thinks he can pay for the spectrum, they'd let him. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But that's my point. The carriers did pay billions for this spectrum. And that, you know, they paid it for air. They paid billions of dollars for air so they can have more bandwidth to support their customers. I know no one really likes when I support the carriers, but let's face it. I mean, they did spend a lot of money. One more thing, don't forget, I have books, I have training, I have a scope of work tutorial, I wrote a book on tower climbing, an introduction. I also created the Tower Workers Logbook so you could log your time, your drive time, your high time, and I have a Tower Workers Field Aid. And I have a website for those, but they're also available on Kindle, and I also have them available out there if you have PayPal or pay with a credit card and you want the PDF version. So what I write about this week, to be honest with you, there's so many news stories out there that I thought you would really care about. So the ones, will the White House and the Senate ask the FCC to free up more spectrum? Just click on the link. That's a good link. That's a good story by Fierce Wireless. Wi-Fi versus LTEU, it's a fight, but Sprint doesn't care. I got to be honest with you, Sprint doesn't care. Sprint has their own problems. And the other one is, I look at this as in the Wi-Fi LTEU is the 3.5 gigahertz spectrum because it's probably going to be lightly licensed spectrum, meaning you can license it in a particular area. And the thing about it is 3.5 gig is used for WiMAX now, or it was for the utilities. And it's also used for earth stations. So when you license it, you can't just go out and bring it up. You have to make sure you're not near an earth station. You won't cause them interference and they won't cause you interference. But I got to tell you, I put up a lot of it for the utilities. And the problem with a lot of WiMAX equipment, had problems. It just never got to where it should be. The network wasn't as reliable as it could be, but I put in a lot of rugged comm equipment. It worked very well. I was very happy with it. I think I also put in some, I want to say MOXA equipment, M-O-X-A, worked very well. So I also put in some Alvarian equipment, and it depends what brand you had of Alvarian. Some of it worked and some of it didn't. Had a lot of problems. Safety funding available. I put this in here for anyone who's looking maybe for some funding from OSHA. OSHA does give out grants, and I thought it would be a good story for you guys. I actually got it from another source. Verizon offers LTE broadcast at the Indy race, and I got to tell you, this sounds really cool. For us, it's on LTE broadcast. It's something fairly new that Verizon's going to try, but it's at the Indy race in Sonoma, California, and they're going to have all kinds of video from the car itself. They're probably going to have a lot of video like they have at a lot of these races, but if you have an LTE broadband enabled device, which I don't know how many are out there, I don't know what devices have it, but it's a completely it's a complete LTE device. Chances are you can watch his video, download the apps. I believe they have it on iOS as well as Google Droid. I'm sorry, iOS and Droid. I think it's in Google Play and I think it's in the Apple Store, the App Store. It's really cool. I have a link to the story if you're interested. The other thing I wanted to talk about, I did a blog. Five climbers died in a car crash a while back, and I found the name of the fifth climber. I thought you would be interested, and you know, may they all rest in peace. It's very sad. I mean, in one car crash, a truck ran a light. Well, it ran a stop sign. It had a flashing red light and killed these young men. One guy was a little younger than me. One guy was 49. One guy was 48. Another guy was 47. Another guy was 53, which is older than me. And then there was a young man at 24. But, you know, it's just what a shame. What a shame. That happened down in Hernando County, Florida. And sadly, since I'm on sad news, there was another death in the industry. In Brownsville, Texas, a man fell off a water tank. He was doing antenna work for Orbit Broadband. I didn't hear any details. I would imagine that OSHA is going to look into it. It's very sad. You know, another death in the industry. Was alive when he landed, they say. Got him to the hospital and he didn't survive. His wounds were too bad. It's very sad. I also have a lot of notes on carrier deployment. I wrote a blog on the steps that go into wireless carrier deployment. I thought you might like that. I bring up a few questions about wireless strategy just to make you think. Just wanted you to think about it. And the other thing I brought up, a little blurb about when do we decommission 2G and 3G. I read a report. I couldn't, it was a private report. I couldn't publish it. But I read a report about how 2G still is being ripped down. 3G may not be ripped down until 20 or 2021, which is right around when 5G comes out. So the carriers have to maintain this old technology. And I know what you think. Oh, just shut it down. Well, there's phones out there in this old technology. And I understand, like, a lot of these people get these phones, they keep them for years, as long as they work. In today's world, you know, I just had an iPhone die on me. I had it 3 years, so I'm one of those guys that holds onto a phone way too long. But it worked well, right up until it died. Something to think about is that a lot of these people keep their phones for a long time. Plus, they don't want to pay a lot of money for the new plans. Not everyone needs a gig of data to their phone. It's just one of those things that that people pay for without thinking about. Younger generation, yeah, they need their Facebook, I do like LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn, and I don't use Facebook on the phone, to be honest with you. I know I promote a lot on Facebook, and I do like to look at Facebook 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 times a day, but I limit my time because you can spend a lot of time on Facebook. It's just, you know, one of those things. Plus, I get a lot of email to the phone for work and for the blog and everything, so... the other thing brought up is 3-channel carrier aggregation, which they're working with overseas. And the reason I bring that up, because I did write a blog on aggregation. They have 2 carrier here in the U.S. that I am aware of, so they're working on 3rd carrier, which is pretty cool. There's a company called Syringa Wireless out in Idaho, and it's a carrier, a very small carrier, and they can't afford to run the system anymore, is my understanding. They're closing the doors, and they recommended any other carrier to replace them. And it's a shame when you see a business like that close. I think it's a real shame. I had a little story about T-Mobile to punish hotspot users. You can read that if you're interested. Links in there. The Hong Kong there was this interview with the CEO who's retiring of SmartTone. And I put it in there because he's sort of a cool guy. When you read what he says, he gets a little frustrated with all the upgrades because the way he looks at it, the vendors push the upgrades, which of course they do. It's business. The end users want a lot of the upgrades because they want the latest and greatest and coolest. Meanwhile, his point of view is that the carriers have to just settle down and finish one upgrade before they start another. And I have the interview. I have the link to the interview in there. It's very interesting. Florida gets sued by AT&T because what happened was AT&T lost a contract. I'm not sure who they lost it to, but I did a lot of public safety work with Motorola, and every time Motorola would lose, if you were with them or against them, because I've been on both sides. I worked for Motorola. I never worked for Motorola proper. I worked for a Motorola shop, but I also worked on the other end too. I competed against Motorola with Alcatel-Lucent. And it's just so interesting because Motorola would protest. Anything they lost, they would protest. It's an inside joke. If you ever worked with Motorola and you ever worked public safety on a big deal, if they lose, they protest. And a lot of, and sometimes, not always, but many times, they could push it to where another RFP came out. Now, if they lost a second time, they're done. And the other thing, they would put a bad taste in everybody's mouth when they do it. But I have the story about AT&T getting upset. So, wah, AT&T lost. I have a lot of Sprint news in here. They're going to deploy in Chicago. If you're a deployment team in Chicago, get on that. Sprint was number one in Overland Park for the Kansas City Royals at the stadium. They had kick-ass download speeds. I have a link in there for that. I have a story from RCR about Sprint is claiming that their spectrum's not their only asset. It's a lot of the deals and things are building up and how Marcelo Claure is really going to turn that company around. And I have another story from Fierce Wireless about Sprint wants some respect. And the other thing I have is Sprint supports Pomona students with $500,000 worth of free broadband, which is something good. I think we should appreciate that. There's a college here, and they're really helping those students out. Finally, if you're on this, I have jobs listed in there. I did a couple blogs for jobs. I wanted to make sure you didn't miss it. I have a story, a blog about 600 megahertz that I tried to explain it, tried to make it simple, but... It's not a hard auction, but the reason it's interesting is because there's a reverse auction where the FCC is going to, through the auction, purchase the licenses off the broadcasters, which gives the broadcasters an out if they're tired of doing it or losing money, or if they want to partner with other broadcasters, because on these digital channels, you have two or three channels that you can use. So maybe, you know, one network could be on one, another network on another, if you can do that. But why not? Why not cash in and get out and then partner with somebody? Or maybe... you know, figure a new strategy out, or if you have multiple stations, shut down one and keep the other. I don't know. I'm just saying there's a lot of things. But then you also have the forward auction where the carriers are going to bid on spectrum and they're going to get the money, you know, they're going to pay money for the 600 megahertz spectrum. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know who's going to bid. I think T-Mobile's going to bid, and I think I don't know if Sprint will bid. I just don't know that. In Vegas, at the Las Vegas Convention Center, there's smartphone tracking. I thought you would enjoy that story. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, so does your information about where you were in the Vegas Convention Center. But Cox is doing this. Cox is actually going to track your smartphone, and they do it for location services. And they want to create apps that, like, if you have to go to the bathroom, they can show you where the nearest restroom is and things like that. You know, you can actually get directions inside the building. If you've ever been to the Vegas Convention Center, I get it. It's huge. I mean, you know, you almost need a directions in that building. I have a lot of stuff about 5G. Nokia wrote a ton of stuff about 5G. That's for all you people interested in that. Another story, Alcatel-Lucent CEO gets a $14 million bonus. Can you imagine? $14 million. And I actually had more stories on this, but he left. He left in the beginning of September. I think September 1st or August 31st. I don't know when his last day was, but the guy's gone. And after he left, he got $14 million U.S. dollars as a bonus on stock over the next 2.5 years, which how great would that be? Can you imagine? You work just over 2.5 years for a company and you get that amazing bonus at the end. Now, I know he's a CEO. He probably outworked in the deal and the contract and turned him around. But, you know, where's a long-term plan? Which his long-term plan was to sell Alcatel-Lucent, apparently, because he did that and he was successful. And maybe that's what he's getting a bonus for. I'm a big fan of AGL Magazine. I have all their links in there for the August and September issues. And I thought you wouldn't appreciate that. Now, I have another story in here about rural broadband. So who says rural broadband doesn't pay? Well, it's not some of the carriers because they're getting a combined $1.5 billion, with a B, dollars of our tax money. Now, I'm not busting on them because the whole idea is to spur the economy by bringing broadband to the underserved areas. And in case you wonder how the money's divvied out, I have it in there. AT&T gets roughly $427 million. Cincinnati Bell, $2.2 million. CenturyLink will get $505 million. I think I have that too high. I think I got to look into that one. Maybe CenturyLink does get that much. That's a lot of money. But I think they do get that much. Consolidated, I'm not sure who that is, but they get $13.9 million. Fairpoint gets $37.4 million. Frontier will get $283 million. Hawaiian Telecom will get $4.42 million. Micronesian, not sure who that is either, $2.6 million. Verizon gets $48.5 million. And Windstream will get $174 million. So if you're looking to, well, there's two things. If you're a customer in a rural area, you'll get better broadband maybe a year or two down the road. But if you're in deployment and these are your customers, get cracking, buddy. Get cracking. They got a lot of money to spend. So they, if it's a government grant, they probably have to spend it within a certain time. FCC supports broadband expansion. I did a couple on that. Hey, another cool story is with satellites. There's actually a company that's coming out with a way to clean up the satellites in space. And all they really propose is that you keep some extra fuel in and you just burn them back into the atmosphere. That's what they really want to do. They want you to just basically bring everything back into the atmosphere because it burns up upon reentry. That's a goal. Now, there's a lot of flaws in that. Like, you know, they have a lot of these satellites have nuclear power sources in them and nuclear clocks. And I don't know what happens to that nuclear waste. You know, I think it needs a little more thought. But that is a problem, all the space junk up there, because it has to be tracked. And when the Earth's magnetic core moves and the Earth's magnetic forces shift, and they do, they pulsate from time to time, and has something to do with the way the sun flares work. The sun does affect it. I don't know anymore. If you want to correct me, email me, reply to this email that I sent out, or wadeforwireless@gmail.com. Reach out to me. Anyway, I thought it was sort of cool, you know, anytime they talk about the satellites in space, because there are a lot of them, and, you know, they only have a 10 to 20 year lifespan, and they do go bad. I have some FirstNet news in there about New Jersey showcasing their JerseyNet project, and it seems to be working. They seem happy, so that's good. It's in Atlantic City. Where else? Are you going to get luckier in the slots? Doubt it. Should FirstNet regroup and reboot? There's a story for Mission Critical about that that Joe Hanna wrote. I thought it was very interesting, and I thought you'd like it here. I got to tell you, FirstNet's taking their time. I get it. They want to plan everything out, but by the time they deploy 5G, we'll be out. And maybe that'll be a good thing. They're supposed to have the RFP out the end of this year, 2015, or the beginning of 2016. I don't know how they want to deploy. They have $7 billion, I believe. I don't know what they're going to do with it. That's not enough to build what they want to build. I know it sounds like a lot of money, $7 billion with a B, but they would probably need about $30 billion to build out. A lot of money to build out, especially if, you know, they have no internal resources. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it isn't like they have like the infrastructure that the carriers do. It isn't like they have a NOC like the carriers do, or supply houses or logistics setup. And now I think the longer they wait, the more states will want to opt out. That's my opinion. That's what I'm hearing. That's word in the street. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I can't imagine the states want to spend their own money, and I don't know how the grant money is going to be given out. I just don't know. I have a bunch of IoT news and machine-to-machine news because I think it's cool, and RCR has another thing. And then I have a commentary, which I'm going to put this out later. But recently a young man died in the tower. He was thrill climbing. And something I think we have to do everything we can to deter this. You know, these guys go up these towers, they take videos, and it's very popular. They take pictures or selfies or whatever. They have no gear. Well, this guy died, right? We don't know what happened. We'll probably never know what happened. You know, it's one of those things that I'm very frustrated with that I think that we have to do something about. So if you're working out at a tower site, whether you're a climber or field worker, tower worker, whatever you're doing, if you see other people to tower, just look at them, make sure they're wearing their safety gear. That's the best thing we can do in this industry, is watch out for each other. If they're working, you're working, everyone has their gear and they're using it properly, great. That's great. But if you see some yahoo up there climbing by himself with no gear, then we got a problem. Oh, there's my timer. You hear my timer in the background? I'm running a little over. So I'll hurry up and wrap this up. All I'm asking is, when you're doing tower site work, if you see a neighboring tower, go over and talk to them. Just make sure that they're climbers, make sure they're being safe. And you too. You know, if someone comes out and checks on you, you'd better be as safe as you can possibly be. Support the Hubble Foundation, speaking of that. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with, this is from Larry Bird, just a quote. I don't think that once you get to one level, you can relax. You've got to keep pushing. And that from Larry Bird. We have to keep getting better. It's basically how I take it. All right. Be smart. Be safe. See ya.